It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is time for quarter number three, and that means it's Ask Bob and Ask Andy. Our buddy Ross is not here today. We are coming from the Labatt Blue Studio, and quarter number three is brought to you by the 409tailgateclub.com.
Yes, it is.
And some exciting news from them also. They are opening a retail outlet in State College at the Nittany Mall. It's going to be called the Tailgate Corner. It'll be located inside the Emporium in the mall. And most important for you, Andrew Piché,
yep,
they will have a free tasting.
Free
barbecue, wine. If it's free, it's for me. Is that not what our buddy Ross said?
Yep.
Yes, and Ross does live by that creed. I can attest to that.
Yes, he does. But Friday night, if you want to sample some great barbecue, some great award-winning wine, show up at the Emporium. Inside there will be the Tailgate Corner, and that's at the Nittany Mall in State College.
Why, thank you, Jim. I think I will show up Friday night.
Gee, in a major upset, Andy's going to show up for some barbecue. I'm stunned, Andy. I'm stunned.
Just sorry.
All right, let's get to our questions. We are going to start with our buddy David from Lakewood Ranch in Florida. I always like his questions because I get this. His email address is Beach Wine Guy. He's living a good life.
I was
going to
say,
he?
Yeah, that's pretty indicative of what he does in his downtime.
It sure is. All right, here's his question. Ross, Bob, Jim, and anyone else that stops by, I keep hearing everyone, and then in parentheses he has glances at Greg Pickle, predict that Penn State will lose at Iowa because it's on the road and the Nits don't play well there. In reality, Penn State hasn't lost to Iowa since 09. Is it because of the walk-off touchdown they had from McSorley? Please explain to me the rationale. Thanks, and keep up the great work. Bottom line, I think he's asking why.
Yeah.
Well, I'll ask you guys. Penn State going to win at
simple.
Iowa?
Iowa could have... should have won the last two games. They had them dead to rights during the McSorley Johnson game. Credit to Penn State for coming back, even though Penn State probably outplayed them up until about five minutes to go. Iowa was all over them last year. Iowa's a good team. They have some really good players. Their downfall might be their quarterback, but it's a solid team. And I would make the argument that Iowa might just be due. I mean, they've beaten some good teams. They've beaten some good teams that Penn State has not beaten. I think it's a dead even game, and I just think that in a toss up game, I tend to go towards the home team.
Kinnick Stadium is a really tough place to play. That you could say like, well, road stadiums are tough, but some venues only they hang when their team's doing well or whatever. Kinnick Stadium is just tough for four quarters to play in. And other than the quarterback, you would say 2 years ago in these toss up games, Penn State was a better team and had to come back to win. Last year, with all the mistakes and the special teams touchdowns and the miscues, Iowa was a much better team, except that they had the absolute worst player on the field, which was their quarterback, and Penn State escaped. So they've been sort of 50-50 games the last 2 years, and I just think it's a tough toss-up game for sure.
As an aside on Iowa, have you ever seen more variance in the way people talk about a quarterback? I read some stuff where that they love Nate Stanley.
Not me.
And we have not seen that, have we?
Look at his games the last 2 years.
Yes.
Also, Iowa matches up pretty well with Penn State. Their two best players are their offensive tackles. Penn
yep.
State's got the defensive ends that are to die for. And Iowa's got some pass rushers. I think it's going to be one of the better games in the Big Ten this year.
All right, next question. And this question is from our friend Saad from Qatar. And by the way,
if you're an
international guy.
All right, get a coffee.
We're going to get your questions on. I love just to say, you know, we're an international show here.
We are.
All right. So Saad from Qatar says, greetings, gentlemen. Many thanks for the great work keeping us overseas fans tuned in to what is happening with the team all year. I follow your shows on the Keystone Sports app continuously. Let that be a lesson to everybody. All right. I don't recall ever seeing a team looking so muscular, or Penn State team looking as cut and muscular as this team. Moreover, the coaches are raving about the best team speed they ever had. This makes me conclude that this is probably the fastest, most physically developed team Penn State has ever had. Do you think this team and coaches can take that strength and speed and translate it into a 10-2 season? Keep up the great work.
So I'll say this about the bigger, stronger, faster element. The 2018-2019 recruiting classes, and you're seeing a lot of guys pop up on the depth chart here. They were high-end recruits. A lot of four-stars, a lot of five-stars. The 19 class had all those four-stars in it. They're starting with a little better clay to mold for Dwight Gall to mold to begin with, right? So that's showing up faster, plus they're getting more guys enrolled early. So that's the other part of it. 10-2, that's the mystery we talked about at the beginning of the show. This is going to go one of two ways. I don't think there's a middle ground. I don't see like a, you know, a middle of the road.
I think there is a middle ground. I don't think if they're not 10-2, I don't think they're going to be 7-5 or 6-6. I can easily see them being somewhere between 8-4, and in an absolute best case, I could make the case for 10-2. I don't see them losing more than four games. I really don't.
Yeah, I'd have a hard time losing more than four. If you go one way with the talent they have and the skill that they have and the depth that they have, I could see them being 11-1 if it goes well.
The four games that we're most concerned about are Michigan home, Ohio State on the road, Iowa on the road, Michigan State on the road. And yep. What will be their record in those games? And I could see Don't them beating both Iowa and Michigan State. And can they split Michigan, Ohio State?
Don't forget about those Golden Gophers. I'm telling
and
you.
You're yeah. saying don't forget about Purdue.
Don't forget about
you're,
Purdue.
You're saying don't forget
Big Ten
about
West
Minnesota.
Is good. I've said it 2 months ago.
We are going to have to revisit that one way or another
just
come
real quick
November.
To our guy from Qatar, this is James Franklin's fastest team. They still have to show it on the field.
Right.
You want to see a fast Penn State team, check out the 2005 Penn State team. That team could fly too.
All right, here's an interesting question to follow up on that, and this comes from Mark in Murraysville. Mark says, speed seems to be a key trait of this Penn State defense. However, over-pursuit can be a problem. It seems opposing teams can counter this type of defensive speed with screen passes. He points out Ohio State mm-hmm. last year, jet sweeps, pit, and draw plays. What can a speedy defense do to balance using their team speed while not getting caught being in a bad position over pursuing? I'll let you start, Bob.
Listen to the coaching staff. I'm sure Brent Pry, he's a big stickler for fundamentals and staying at home, stay in your lane, play your responsibility, don't overreact. It's easier said than done. But I just think I'd rather be fast and maybe have to figure the rest out than be slow and be like super smart. I just think that eventually it's all this defense is going to figure it out. There might be a couple of growing pains, but this is a talented team. I think it knows what it's doing, and the fact that they're deep, it's just going to be a fun team to watch and a really fun defense to
watch. So when I'm looking at it defensively, I'm looking at some of the key guys that like Cam Brown, Micah Parsons, you know, to a degree, Etor. You know, those are the Garrett Taylor. Those are the guys that are candidates that probably were on the edge of making those kind of mistakes a year ago. Too much playing time, too much seasoning. I just think the game as you progress slows down a little bit for you.
Yeah.
I don't see it anymore kind of key players.
They have Jan Johnson to get the team lined up right on the front seven, and they have Garrett Taylor, a fifth-year player in the secondary with John Reed. I just don't think you're going to see a lot of alignment mistakes, and I think that will go a long way towards some of the questions that he referenced.
The one thing I'll say, just a real quick, the speed matters, but how well they tackle in space, which has been a bit of a problem the last 2 years for Penn State defensively, in my opinion, they haven't tackled very well in space. That will be sort of a hidden football measuring stick for where this defense is going.
All right, let's move on to the next question. It comes from Chris in Bellefonte. Hey, guys, love the show. You know what? That's another key to getting your question on. Start by complimenting us.
Yep.
That works. All right, here's what Chris asks. Which freshman getting the green light is most impressive? Caden Wallace on the offensive line or Adisa Isaac at defensive end?
I think they're green. They've got temporary green lights for this week. I don't know that they've been given the green light to play this season. I could see Wallace maybe doing that if there's an injury at tackle, but the way that the defensive end room is, it's I just think that I don't know that I'd be in a hurry to play Isaac. It looks like he could get a little bit bigger, but they are both impressive.
They're studs,
kids, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's a good call by our listener on Isaac. We haven't really talked enough about him. I think he gets lost in a defensive end shuffle, but he is another player that James Franklin mentions an awful lot.
Some of these defensive ends are going to be leaving really soon, and I think we're going to talk about him more in the very near future, not in the immediate future. But I think the greater chance to play sooner than later because of the offensive line depth is Caden.
Yeah, I think he's the better prospect by a slight hair over Isaac as well. I know that Ross Tucker likes both of them an awful lot.
Good question.
All right. Let's get to the one more question. This is Jerry from Arlington, and he addresses this specifically to Ross, but it goes at an issue that we haven't hit on. Ross, when you played in college, what was the relationship between the head coach, head trainer, and team doctor, and who made the play or no play decision? I asked the question even though it was directed at Ross. We obviously know what went on this past week. I just want to get your thoughts on that topic.
I think at every major university, there's always going to be a push-pull when it comes to a coach wanting to know how far along an injured player is in his rehab, and a doctor wanting to have the final say because he wants to look out for the players, and his number one concern is the players. I think it happens everywhere. There's obviously an ongoing lawsuit, but I don't think it's come to a head here at Penn State because there's a suit.
Correct.
But I just think that that battle goes on everywhere. I don't think it's an easy battle. And I just think it's a product of two leaders in the program in their field caring a lot about their kids. And both kind of want the best for their kids. And I think that there's some butting of the heads more often than not.
Yeah, I felt the Penn State one, to me, the lawsuit feels like two professionals who could not establish common ground to have a safe, comfortable, and solid working relationship. So they each tried to pull and push. So as both of them should, they just couldn't find that common ground. The key is, can these two people find the common ground?
All right, let's pick a winner.
What? I think every question today was pretty good.
I agree.
I really do.
It was a great week.
But I do think because this guy referenced a game that is very pivotal for the Penn State season, I think the argument about Iowa is very valid. I would go with that question.
That is Beach Wine Guy. We will get something out to you right away, David. That's it for quarter number three. Stick with us. Quarter number four, we're going to talk football.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.